You're listening to AM 970, The Answer. And now, Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, our very special guest, once again on Reaching Out, is former City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. Christine, welcome back to Reaching Out.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation back.
You know, it's always a pleasure to have you come in because we don't sort of talk about politics. We talk about your new phase.
Yes.
And I would say the nonprofit organizations and nonprofit world.
Yeah.
You are now currently the president and chief executive officer of WIN, formerly known as Women in Need, the largest provider of shelter, social services, and supportive housing for homeless families in New York City. And boy, do we need that ever, more than ever.
Yeah, next month I'll be, it'll be my 3-year anniversary at WIN. And, you know, at WIN we do shelters and permanent supportive housing for homeless families. And what many people don't know is that, yes, everyone knows we're at record all time in shelters right now, record high. 70% of those people are families with children. Fully 25% of the people who were in shelter last night were 5 years of age or younger. We see single individuals on the street, and God knows they need help. But what we don't know, because they're not on the street, is that homelessness is really a family issue. 92% of the homeless families are headed by women. The definition of homelessness today is a woman and her child or her children. And that's a face of the crisis that I think it's critical for New Yorkers to understand, because I hope it makes them more open and more sympathetic to helping homeless people and accepting shelters and accepting permanent supportive housing in their neighborhoods.
Now, I read something somewhere in one of the papers about the large number of homeless children in our city schools.
Yep.
Now, I read somewhere that there was about 67,000 homeless living in New York City. But then the record number of families and children in our public schools, and I don't remember the number.
Yeah. So the number is very, very high. Also, in that study done by the Institute on Children in Poverty, which is an extraordinary group, they also include people who are doubled and tripled up, which is very, very fair. So the number is huge. It's close to, I think the number was 47,000 in the most recent report. And, you know, that, and it's grown since last year. And it's enraging to see that number and know the city of New York is not doing enough. Last year, WIN and many other homeless advocates and children's advocates had a proposal to double the number of school social workers in the schools with the highest concentrations of homeless children. Now, given the way where shelters are, right or wrong, that doesn't end up being a lot of schools, right? Because it's very congested. So we wanted to double the number there. The city council, to their credit, stepped up with $2 million. The mayor did nothing. Nothing.
Wait, repeat that again.
So we wanted to double the number of social workers in the schools that have the highest concentration. Not every school, though more social workers would be good in every school, just in the schools, and I think it's about 15 or 20, that have the highest concentration. The city council, totally Mark Schrager, the education chair, Steve Levin, the general welfare chair, the speaker, all for it. They say, you know, we'll put up X if you put up Y. The council puts up $2 million, expecting the mayor to do more than that since he's the mayor. And he puts in nothing for social workers in schools with the highest level of homelessness.
You know, that's
we have more police officers in schools than we do social workers.
That's shocking.
Shocking.
Because the mayor did not want metal detectors in the schools.
Right.
Okay, but the children are bringing in knives, they're bringing in guns. Okay. His answer was he was going to put more social workers in the schools. I remember hearing it.
Right.
Because he said, Greg Floyd, no, we're not going to do that.
Right, because they're your members, right?
Yeah. But, you know, if you don't put the metal detectors in, you have to have someone that could talk to the children and social workers. We're not opposed to having social workers in the schools.
No, of course not. Why would you be?
Now they're here
I know.
On the issue of homelessness. They could have a dual role.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes no sense. And it wasn't even a lot of money. And it would be money so well spent. You know, at Wynn in September, late August, we had 30 kids go off to four-year college. Some of them at CUNYs, some of them at private schools, Syracuse, some at SUNYs like Cortland, you know, where they're not living at the shelter anymore. Think of, and these kids got into college. It's not easy getting into college if you're housed, but they got into college against all odds, right? Because shelters don't have Wi-Fi, so we had to work with these kids on where their computers, et cetera, to do their essays and whatnot. If we had had social workers, extra social workers in the schools where these kids were, they could have perhaps expanded the number greatly of kids from shelter who were going to college. There's immeasurable numbers of ways they could have been of assistance. And one thing we know for a fact is that a homeless child is twice as likely to be a homeless adult. Now, if we want to break the cycle of homelessness, so we're not talking that we're at the all-time highest rate every year, then we have to address the needs and the trauma that homelessness is to a child. And that needs professional assistance. And we now, thanks to the First Lady, she deserves a lot of credit, have more social workers in the shelters. But think if we were working collaboratively with the social workers in the school, how much more wraparound and holistic the care would be for our children.
Now, we're talking about Charlene McClain.
Yes, yes.
Okay, because at first, when you said the First Lady.
Oh, No, I was saying,
well, we got something really to talk about.
Yeah. That would be breaking news if Melania is bringing social workers to shelters.
Okay. So the New York City Housing Authority, NYCHA, it's been documented by the city comptroller, Scott Stringer, that there are a number of vacant apartments in NYCHA, and there are a number of apartments that can be rehabbed.
Right.
I always wondered why the city in NYCHA didn't make those apartments available for the homeless families and have the city, instead of paying rent to shelters, pay the rent to NYCHA.
It's the right question to ask. And let me tell you, if you ask the people who are at a Wynn shelter, where would you like to go after shelter? What kind of, where would you like to live? Everyone's first choice is NYCHA. Because it's a forever lease. It's a forever lease. And I'm not diminishing the severe problems NYCHA has.
But
that's where people want to go. And that we would have one unit that is sitting empty for no good reason is a sin. Because that unit not being available to homeless family means that homeless family is staying in shelter longer and longer. Or maybe getting a less, moving out of shelter, but in a less stable way.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Because if you move the homeless families into NYCHA, you rehab the apartments, and NYCHA gets more money, put that money back into fixing the residents' homes, because there's a ton of problems there.
Totally.
But if you begin to tackle the problem systematically, just little bit by little, you chip away. I mean, it's a major problem. But you just solve it one at a time, one at a time.
The key word I think you just said was systematically. And nobody has ever, and that predates this administration, but in this administration also, taken a systematic look at NYCHA. Honestly, I don't think anybody ever cared that much to do that. And it's a sin for the people who are living there, and it's a sin for people who could be living there. And when the first steps were taken to open more NYCHA units to homeless people, it's made an enormous difference. And we need to keep going on that track, not through either disregard or disorganization, leave valuable units empty.
Yeah, because you have schools in the area. You could put the children in a stable school, put them in a stable environment. They come home. They feel good about themselves.
Often there's community centers or settlement houses. I know I live in Chelsea, in the Elliott Chelsea houses. There's a settlement out, Huss and Gill there.
Yes.
And in another one we have in Chelsea down the block, the Fulton houses, there's a senior center in the Housing Authority, open to everybody. So those are just amazing resources.
Yeah, and of course— I believe they have Wi-Fi because the children can
do their essays for college and whatnot.
Yes. Yeah. So a new city council bill was passed by the city council that requires shelters to provide families with free diapers and baby wipes.
Yep. First of all, I want to say if anybody who lives at Wynn is listening, don't flush the baby wipes in the toilet. It's a huge problem. We're always having backup. But diapers and baby wipes are always on the top of what we need donated list. Because buying baby wipes and diapers are really, really expensive. And I don't think people really realize that because when you have a baby, you have to get them. But if you're living on extremely limited means, that's very, very hard, as people in shelter are. So to require that those are donated, following on the council's lead under Julissa Ferreras around feminine hygiene products, it'll take the load off of the moms and the parents in a very significant way. But you know what else it does? That there will now be diapers and baby wipes. It sends a message to the homeless families that the city of New York is looking out for you. The New York City Council, Mark Schrager, is looking out for you. You matter. You've been seen. Your needs have been heard. And that kind of recognition really boosts people's self-confidence. It boosts their feeling that they're not alone, that there are people they don't know pulling for them. And the homeless have been so villainized and criminalized, particularly in the covers of the New York Post, in such a racist way. To have that message is as important as the products themselves. So I applaud the council for doing this. It'll make a big difference.
So what can the average New Yorker do to help out with the homeless situation?
Well, I think what the average New Yorker can do, one, is donate money to groups like WIN. We are at WINNYC.org, WINNYC, two N's, or any other group that you feel an affinity to. We're coming into the holiday season. Almost every shelter network out there has some kind of program for how they get holiday gifts.
Do you have a coat drive?
We don't. We take only new clothes. We have a very good relationship with retail community. What we do for holidays is a holiday letter. The children write what they want. Then they get the top two things on their list. And we're really lucky to have a very big volunteer, corporate, and civic partnership where people will take half the letters in one shelter or all of a shelter. We even see families doing it. They buy the gifts. They wrap them. They bring them to us. We get them to mom before the holidays. She can then put them in the closet. They're wrapped, and nobody knows that she didn't buy them.
Right.
Which is, and they're all new. So, you know, that's our program. Reach out to WIN to see if you'd like to be part of the Santa Drive, the Secret Santa Drive. But every shelter or group out there has something. Maybe it's coats. Maybe it's socks.
And where will somebody get the list?
I think you could go. It might be on the Department of Homeless Services website. Okay. That's a good question. There's a group called Homeless Services United, which is an umbrella group of all the shelters. If you looked at their membership list, you could ask at your local church or mosque or synagogue, because often, as we do, you partner with a lot of the religious groups, or just do WIN. But I think that's donate. Help out around the holidays. Keep helping out when it's not holidays. We've been so lucky at WIN to have salons and beauty places come in around Mother's Day and do makeup and hair for our moms. So if you work in a beauty parlor, talk to the person who owns the beauty parlor about whether you can do that. Or just come and volunteer. We have this retired woman, Gloria, who comes regularly. She's good at computer stuff. And so she's, you know, reworking the whole volunteer database to make it compatible with whatever, whatever. That's not my world. But whatever skill you have, there's some way we can put it to use. We had a woman come in who was a former copy editor. And she started editing and writing documents for us.
Wow. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, a very special guest is former City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. Now, we've spoken about what people can do. Let's talk about your plans. How many shelters you run, your plan, your day-to-day operation?
So we right now have 11 shelters throughout the city. We are presently building one in Coney Island. And that should be open in about a year, year and a half. We just opened the largest supportive housing, which is permanent housing with services for homeless folks in East New York, Brownsville, over the summer. So that it's the biggest one in New York State. So that's a real.
And how many people really does that house?
That building houses about 200 families.
Okay. Yeah. 200 families?
Yes, families.
Wow.
A lot of groups do both families and singles, and that's mm-hmm. great. When we only do families.
Now, who manages that building?
We do.
You do? Okay.
We do. We manage that building. And everyone in that building has a lease. The lease are rent-protected leases. They get all the rights and protections and privileges as any mm-hmm. other rent-stabilized tenant in the city of New York.
And how did you obtain this building?
We built it. It's a piece of property in the industrial zone that we got converted to residential. And we had development partners who were terrific, and we built the building with them.
Now, how can you
afford it?
No. How can you build more?
So yes. There's the city, the governor, and the mayor both have really committed to supportive housing. And there are tax credits available and loans, et cetera, that allow you to put these deals together, often with a development partner who can sometimes be the purchaser or the investor. But there's a whole set of mostly tax credits that enable groups like ours to do this. You often have to do it hand in glove with the Housing Preservation and yeah. Development Department. They have a whole unit that just does supportive housing that is really terrific. So it's complicated, but it is absolutely doable. And we're seeing a lot of other groups do it as well. And you also see partnerships with real estate industry, like the related corporations, which are big developers, had a zoning thing they wanted done in Rockaway, and as a part of the deal, they had to give back. So they're giving back by building us a 50-unit supportive housing for homeless families and building another building for the Jericho Project, who helps former military. So there's a lot mm-hmm. of different ways to package it together. And what we want to do is, under the mayor's Turning the Tides plan, be of service and open more shelters. But the statistic says that 30 to 40% of homeless families will only thrive independently if they live in supportive housing. So we want to also grow our supportive housing portfolio to basically be the equivalent of 30 to 40% of the shelter units we have at any time. That's going to take us a while, but that's the goal. And given the crisis, we need to grow in shelter and supportive simultaneously.
You're doing a lot of work. The average New Yorker would not know. So once again, if I'm a developer, if I'm listening, I just happen to be listening, yeah. How would I get involved?
You should reach out to WinNYC, two N's, WinNYC.org. Also follow us on, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We need people who are going to donate. And no check is too large and no check is too small. We need development partners. We need corporate partners who want to have, their employees' volunteer programs be with us. We need individual volunteers. We also need more New Yorkers to be ambassadors for homeless family, to spread the information that 70% of the homeless are homeless families, that 25% of the people who slept in shelter last night were homeless children. The city doesn't know that. They don't know that 70% of the homeless being families, they're just like you. They get up, they make breakfast, they take their children to school, probably further away than most people do. Over half of our mothers are working. They go to work, they go to their government appointments, they come home, pick up their kids and come home. It's just their home is a shelter right now, not a permanent home. And we need to kind of spread that message, because the city's become divided and at times very divisive as it relates to the issue of homelessness and citing homeless facilities and shelters. And we really need, and your great listeners can help spread that message.
Okay. So in addition to your programs, are there similar programs out there that are doing the same type of work?
Yeah, I mean, there's this group Breaking Ground. They're really mostly focused on supportive housing. They're doing a terrific job. There's a lot of groups, Project Renewal, which has shelters and supportive and has a terrific culinary program where they teach homeless folks skills to be caterers. Help USA, which Governor Cuomo founded.
His sister Maria.
Yeah, she's running it now. They're across the country, but they're really exceptional as well, and a number of other groups. But we're lucky in New York to have a very robust service provider group. I mean, it's important to remember New York is the only jurisdiction where housing the homeless is a legal requirement. So out of that landmark court case of the late 80s, early 90s, the city had to start housing the homeless. And thankfully, the city quickly realized they couldn't run all the shelters. And that's why we have this network of not-for-profits, some small, some big. It's a network that kind of fits together. And we're one of the few groups, maybe the only group, that specializes just in families.
That's interesting. I didn't know about that law.
It's funny enough, the court case is the Callahan decision, which is my middle name, my mother's maiden name. Oh. So perhaps it was all meant to be that I would run a homeless service organization.
Your life has come full circle.
There you go. And Steve Banks was one of the lawyers on that case, our present
homeless commissioner. Wow. It's interesting. It is ironic that he would be running the
I know.
Services.
He thinks so, too.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And HRA.
Yes. He's got the whole shebang.
So tell me, how do you interact with the HRA, Human Resources Administration?
We interact mostly with the Department of Homeless Services, much more than HRA.
Okay.
We also interact a lot with the Department of Youth and Community Development because we have a lot of programs, after school programs. We have a camp. We run every school break and every summer break, so we do a lot of interaction with them. We, for better or worse, have to interact a lot with the Administration for Children's Services, so they're another. And I think David Hansel, the new commissioner over there, I guess he's not so new anymore, but he's doing a very good job against very, very challenging odds.
Sure. So we have about 2 minutes left. In those 2 minutes, they're yours to give any message that you want to give on any subject.
I think, given the events of the past few days with bombs being sent to George Soros, to the Bill and Hillary Clinton, to the Obamas, to CNN, we're just getting more and more reports of senators' offices, congresspeople's offices. I think, one, I want to send a message to all of those individuals that we're supporting them. We stand with them. I want to thank all of the various law enforcements for everything they're doing in response to these, particularly the NYPD and the fire department in response to the one at CNN. But, we're talking here about how do we bring New Yorkers together around the issue of helping the homeless, helping their neighbors. We need to have dialogues across the country about how do we reunite this country, because it has gotten to a place of hate and division that is something many of us have never seen at this type of level before. And whether you love Donald Trump or you hate Donald Trump, I'm in the hate category, you have to see that he is sparking this through his hatred and his horrible, horrible language and all that he does and says. And you have to step forward as decent Americans and say, this kind of domestic terrorism is not what we're about as Americans.
I've seen it coming this way when, unfortunately, the Congress had that baseball game. And it was a nonpartisan baseball game. And to see Congressman Scalise shot and see that carnage that went on there. Yep. And that happened to be a guy, they said, that was on the left.
Yep.
So he got people on the left and the right.
Oh, absolutely.
On the fringes. And I say, I like the middle. The middle always tastes sweet. The people, you got the pie. Who eats the crust? The crust is what you cut off, whether it's left or right. So we got to understand, if we're in the middle, we could begin to have this conversation and we could get along. The people on the fringes need to stay on the fringes and away from everybody else.
And people need to remember, the message of win around uniting to help your neighbor is to draw on people in their best qualities as New Yorkers. What we need to do as it relates to soothing and healing the country is reach out to people in their best part of them that is who they are as Americans, and that needs to rise above. And we know we can do it. Look what we did as a country after 9/11.
That's true, and we did do that. Yeah. We came together. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for
this
segment,
Greg.
Reaching Out. Thank you for coming on. Gregory Floyd, President Local 237, very special guest, former City Council Speaker and Chief Executive Officer of WIN, formerly known as Women in Need. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.